Welcome to the program. I'm happy today to be interviewing Andy Mayfield. Like myself, Andy comes from a Catholic background, and so I'm really happy to be able to share with him so that we can be able to speak to you about our own love for the Lord and just how you, if you are Catholic or whatever church you go to, how you can know the Lord and how you can come to true faith in Him. So it's a real joy to be interviewing Andy Mayfield, and I'd like to welcome you to the program, Andy.
Thank you, Richard.
So I'd like to begin, Andy, by asking you a difficult question, but not just simply what city did you grow up in, but what was the background of your parents, and what did your parents believe in?
Yeah, I was raised in a small Midwest town. It was Quincy, Illinois. What I consider to be a very typical Midwest town. However, as a child and even as a young adult, I didn't leave the town much. You know, there were some very distinct things about the town. Even to this day, you will find at the time a number of Roman Catholic churches, many of which have closed. They've had to reduce the number of active churches. A very large population of bars and gathering places of that nature. My family, very typical Roman Catholic family. I have two brothers and three sisters, so there were six of us all together. Just a very loving mother who held very tightly to her Roman Catholic faith. Held very tightly to what she had been taught, held very tightly to her love for her children, despite the fact that I was raised with an alcoholic father. His whole life he struggled immensely with alcohol and the addiction and the sin nature of alcohol, and it consumed him and really left the burden of raising the family on my mother's shoulders and my brothers and sisters.
Well, that is really sad. It breaks my heart to hear that you know, he was consumed and done in by drink. But was it in his equally true about your mother, unknowing to herself she was consumed with a religion that did not deliver and did not help her and did not, you know, in any way provide what she was looking for? Did she see any of that, or was she just thinking that the Catholic Church was all that she needed to know God?
Yeah, it's a tough thing, Richard. I think the reality is it was all my mom knew. It was every time she reached anywhere for help, it was a Roman Catholic priest or it was a family member who would constantly redirect her to the church. And I think the message, and it was a message that really began to become pervasive in my own life, was just try harder, be more faithful, serve the church more, and the church will take care of you, God will take care of you. So it was really just that immersion in what you really don't know, that my mom trusted,
yes.
Was never able to find peace and contentment, nor my father.
Yeah. Did your mother, because it was your mother really was the one who was leading here, and did she introduce you, like as a young boy, to First Communion, confirmation, things like that? Did you do that, or did you?
No, I was all very much. I was raised, came up through a Roman Catholic grade school, high school, so a great deal of preparation for First Communion and confirmation with the priests and the nuns. We had a convent that was literally right around the corner on the same block.
Okay, so they were the ones.
Yeah.
And what are your memories, Andy, of your, say, the first time you went to confession and, you know, said your sins in the little box to the priest? What was your memories of that?
Yeah, I think like so many children, it was something that you had to do. I think as I grew older and became more aware of my own sinfulness, it became something that I still felt I had to do, but it was at a different level because I think the awareness of sin was there, and that was the only instrument, sacrament, where that sin could be relieved, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, I remember sitting in the confession box, having people come to me, and young people too, and it was used to be grievous to me. I remember looking at some young people, and particularly young girls, and I'd see sweat here on their cheeks and all because they were embarrassed by what they were telling me. And it used to grieve me as a priest where people come back week after week with the same sins. And I couldn't think that this doesn't work because Holy Mother Church has given us this. And I would still say, I absolve you from all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In those early days, it was in Latin, I said that. But it used to really bother me. And particularly with young girls, and I was only 25 at the time, when I was listening to young, when they were embarrassed about telling me about their sexual sins and everything, and you had to tell every sin in confession, and it used to embarrass me. I remember sometimes sweating in the confession box, and that wasn't just because it was the tropics where I was in Trinidad. It was because it was embarrassing, It really was embarrassing. And but nonetheless, I did it, so I can understand you and the problems you had. Now, what was it like when you went to receive the communion host, and you were told it was the body of Christ, and you're receiving the body and blood of Christ, and that this is supposed to be awesome in the Catholic Church. How was that experience with you, or do you have any memories of it?
Yeah, I think, I would characterize myself as a very faithful Roman Catholic, as one who believed very much what I had been taught. And I think that there was always a great desire to live up to the majesty of the Mass, this drama of the Lord's sacrifice over and over and over again throughout every Mass, was something that I tried to connect with as a Roman Catholic. I mean, it's at the heart of every Roman Catholic's worship is the Mass, and to try to convince yourself that that priest up there has that authority to call Christ down on that altar and transform that bread into the body of Christ. To believe that is a very powerful thought, and one that you try very hard to stand in awe of. But as you grow older, I can't imagine that there's a Roman Catholic out there that has not, deep in their soul, looked at that priest and says, "Can he really have that power over the Lord Jesus Christ? Can he really have that authority? What is his life like? Is he that reconciled to God? Is he that perfect in his walk with God that he has been given that power?"
Yeah, to bring Christ down on the
That's
altar.
right. And I think those are the things that really began to unsettle me. But just as they told my mom in her most difficult times, just keep trying, keep bearing down on what you believe in the Roman Catholic
Yeah,
Church.
I have a book of 50 former priests. One of the priests, as far as I remember, Sandy Carson was his name, and he was down in Florida, and he was beginning to doubt his own priesthood and this power because he knew what his own life was like, and that was a turning point in his life. And I know that this is a real difficult topic, and for you, the viewer, and those you listening, I know it's difficult, but it's sometimes the Lord wakes us up, that a man can claim to have the power to bring down Christ's body on the altar. It's something that has got to be faced and something we have to address. So it's a difficult thing, and it's something we have to deal with.
Yeah.
It's amazing that modern American nuns, that some of them have addressed this topic. And I have a book that I was able to get published called The Truth Set Us Free, 20 Former Nuns Tell Their Stories. And in it you see nuns dealing with this. And I really thank God for some of these former nuns who write their testimonies, because they're so clear. You mean it's that some of them were, of course, educated as teachers. Some of them were nurses and everything. They were very well educated in the Catholic Church. And then when it came to explain how they came to the Lord, there was something fresh new about it. And it's amazing to see them dealing with difficult topics. As I said, this is a difficult topic for you who are Catholic. And it's nuns faced it, and some nuns really came to know the Lord, and their stories are just warm things, warm testimonies that really can touch a person's heart. And
well, I think the interesting thing about the nuns is they have seen a side of Roman Catholicism that you've seen as a priest, priest. But they have seen this, what they're called to believe, but then they've also seen, I'm sure, the lives of these human beings that are called priests and given these holy orders. And just as when I was growing, you begin to really see and struggle with that level of authority over the sovereign God of the universe. And can you, they see the day-to-day lives of these men, and whether or not they can possibly have that power.
Yeah, and it's so touching. And just before we came to talk to you tonight, I was talking to a young man, and he was talking about electronically getting the things out on the internet and everything. And I just thank God for the internet, because I have DVDs on our webpage, and you will see the web page address on the foot of the screen. I just thank God for the internet, because I've got talking to some of these former nuns, and I have like Marianne Paquis. Her testimony is on DVD, and you can get it by a click. You know what I mean? By just going to, you just go to videos on the web page, and then you hit A Bride of Christ is the name with a question mark, and there is she talking on the DVD, and her heart is warm, reaching out to Catholics, and it's a lovely, lovely testimony. Mary Shannon is another one of them. Mary Hertel is another one, and the testimonies are just really gracious. And you can see them on the internet, or you can download the MP3s, you know what I mean, and listen to them talking. So I urge you, listener and viewer, to really make use of the internet and really listen to somebody pour out their heart to you who spent years and years in Catholicism, and even as priests and nuns. I only have one DVD of a former priest, and it's called A Conversation of Two Priests, and that is very touching, that testimony of the former priest too. It's on the internet, but this is real world, and there's many of us who were former Catholics who now want to speak with love to Catholic people. And we are not known except here, as we speak on the, through DVDs and on the internet. But there are many of us, and it's good to know about us, because you're not going to be told about us at the Catholic Church on Sunday Mass, and But there are many of us, and I thank God that He uses some of us to now to speak to you and to give you the message. And so I wanted to know, Andy, now to continue in your life when you left home, you know, and you know, you're out in the world on your own, and most young men, when they get out and they start working and everything, they're looking for a wife. Did you, was that your case? Did you look for a wife and did you get married, or how was it?
I did. I wouldn't, you know, when I left home, I was just out of high school. I was really the first one in my family to leave my hometown. And I really wanted to go pursue, you know, what deeply moved me at that point in my life, Richard, was a lifetime of watching my father, who I loved dearly, and I thank my mom for teaching me to love my father dearly, despite what I now know to be the sin in his life, but just the tragedy of the addiction of alcohol that took his life away from us. I really was very driven to go and get an education, work hard, and provide the home that I always wanted as a child. Mm-hmm. I was very deeply driven to provide that loving, caring home that my mom provided and my dad provided when we had him and not the alcohol. And that really drove me, and it drove me towards what I would call now a portrait of my life that I had created. And I just went about putting all the little pieces of that portrait together. School, work hard, and ultimately the wife came with that, and the children, so that in the house, and so that I could recreate this perfect little childhood that I had wanted, but my father couldn't provide. But the love that I desired in that home came right out of the pure heart of my mom.
Yeah, well, that is good. That is good, and that is.
But I will also say what I realize now is that, and this is a message to the viewer and to those who have children, particularly young men, I was not prepared for the wickedness of this world and what it is all about in terms of the seduction, particularly of the young man. And I realize that now at the age of 48. But that is something I vividly realize now, that I was not at all prepared. And what amazes me is the biblical view that is provided is crystal clear in terms of what every young man needs to know.
Yeah, that is really good. And we, if you could give a little overview of what it is that a young man should know, and just it would be good, and just how we can get to know that. And you mean how, because I think for most young men, you know, having the right wife and having a home where there really is probably the biggest question we have, besides wanting to know how can we be right with God and how can we be secure in Christ. I think that is the... So, Andy, I really want to know what your advice is to the young man listening and the young man viewing. What is your advice to them?
Yeah, I as I shared a bit about my own childhood, it was the Lord, as I see now, was so gracious even in the life that He gave me as a child, because it is such a force that He uses now in my own life and my walk with Him. But first and foremost, I would offer up that Scripture reveals precisely the life God calls us to live. And if you are a young man, or you have a young man in your life as a son, or possibly someone that you're interested in, or you care about, find someone who knows the book of Proverbs and walk that young man through the book of Proverbs. It is a beautiful, beautiful testimony from God, written from a mother's perspective to her son. and it reveals all of the things that are wicked in this world, the desire to draw the young man into sin after sin after sin until he can't breathe any longer without sinning and further into that. And it, I think it permeated my walk with the Lord was the realization that I had spent the first 43 years of my life completely blind to the counsel of God. And with the counsel of God, it is so blatantly clear the filthy walk of my life apart from God.
Well, it's good that you bring up that, because that is the more essential question that you're addressing there, Andy, is how can we be right with God? How can we know that, like the Apostle Paul says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality? But how can you know that you are accepted in the Beloved, what Paul says in the first chapter of the letter to the Ephesians? How did you, first of all, come to know salvation in Christ? Because as I was explaining earlier on, the Catholic Church, you know, looks to, you know, to the sacraments, and it looks to, you know, these seven sacraments and all, to, they look to that. And how did you, from a Catholic background where your mother was so Catholic, how did you come to finally discover that salvation is not through any church, it's just believing on Christ Jesus by the grace of God? How did you come to that in your life?
You know, I think this is the this is truly, for the viewer, the question that one needs to just let root deep into their hearts. First of all, I think one has to ask the more difficult question, particularly as a Roman Catholic, which is, what is truth? And where does it come from? And who has authority over that truth? If you don't pursue the answer to that question, we will continue to be led and rocked to and fro by winds of doctrine and thoughts and traditions of men. And I can say my call to the Lord came at a time where that portrait that I described earlier of my family, my house, my children, my wife, all this beautiful little portrait simply began to shatter as a result of the consequence of my own sins and the consequence of the sin that was embedded in our marriage, a marriage that was upside down in terms of the model that God had given us. I was not the spiritual leader. I was not leading the family. I was part of the sinner in the family. And I am very thankful for the testimony the Lord has given me. I believe it is just purely from the Lord. In the midst of that realization that portrait that I had worked my whole life with, I had my religion in the Roman Catholic Church, I had my wife, I had my children, I had my house, I had my job, and all of it was falling apart. All of it. And it was in the midst of that trial that I began to ask the question, what is truth? Where does it come from? Where do I go to seek counsel to get through this period in my life? And it was in that period where the Lord just graciously began to call me into the Word of God.
That is amazing that you say that, Andy. It's not a coincidence. This is really because in my own life, I was a Catholic priest, and I was 9 years into the priesthood in Trinidad, West Indies, and I nearly died in an accident where I damaged my back skull and my back spine. And then afterwards, when I was recovering, and I began to say, what is truth? It was the question I wanted to know. And it was then that I saw that Jesus Christ said, like in John's Gospel, chapter 10, Scripture cannot be broken. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Apostle Paul said, and I began to see that Scripture is truth. Jesus Christ himself said on the night before he died in a prayer to the Father, your word is truth. Not it just contains it, it is truth. This is the death. And that was the first thing that I discovered as a Catholic priest. And it gave me somewhere to stand. You know what I mean? And it was going to take me, believe it or not, 13 and a half, nearly 14 years of searching to really get the full message. But from the beginning, I had the foundation. And that is the question you've asked. What is truth? And that was, in my own life, most precious. And I'd ask you, the viewer, to ask yourself the question, what is truth? Can we know truth?
And I'm just, again, so thankful. You know, in that period of my life, it was a very, on one hand, a very troubled time. It was a storm in my life that I knew was coming. I knew that there were consequences to my own sin, and a life of sin, right? I mean, there were, but in the midst of that storm was a calmness that really was when I sat down with the Word of God. And I, by God's grace, I as a Roman Catholic, 43 years, very devoted to my Roman Catholic faith, I had never opened up and read the Bible. We might open it up during Christmas once in a while to read the account, but never read the Bible. And for the Lord's reasons, he called me into the Word and I began with the Gospel of John. So it didn't take very long to find out that the Word became flesh. That passage had deep, it just inserted, here's one thing. Right, and then I got to John chapter 4, and I read the account with the woman at the well like I was sitting there with the Lord.
Andy, that really warms my heart because it reminds me of a young man from New York who was Catholic, and I used to meet him at the post office in Portland, and he would talk to me, and he would tell me about the Catholic Church, and I said, you've got to read the book of John. And he would say, well, I have my church, you know what I mean, and who do you think you are to tell me to read the book of John? And he would never listen to me, but I used to ask him again and again. And then one time I was at the post office, and I said to the men there, I said, where's Chris? And they said, he's across in Vancouver, which was neighboring city to Portland there across the river, Columbia River. And he said he's got colon cancer. So I got the telephone number and I phoned him at the where he was in getting treatment for colon cancer. And he said, Richard, I have read John's Gospel. Where do I go now? This was, of course, I told him, and it just warms my heart that you said that. And so go ahead in your own life.
Well, I mean, the Gospel of John is it's just one of so many areas of the Bible that the Lord used so mightily. But just going through the Gospel of John, you encounter the woman at the well where the Lord reveals himself in all his glory to a Samaritan woman who was not only an outcasted people, but an outcast of those people coming to the well by herself. And he revealed himself as living water. And he told her, and it was as though I was standing there with the Lord when he said, you do not know what you worship. And he said that to that woman at the well. And it was like it just hit me like a ton of bricks, because in my heart already was the question, what is truth? Where is truth? And when he said that to that woman at the well, I knew that that meant something deeply for every single person who read the text of that page, that we should all know what we worship. The living water in John 4, the living bread in John 6, and you begin to see the metaphors that the Lord used, multiple metaphors. And this is important for the viewer in my own walk with the Lord, because Scripture begins to reveal that although the Roman Catholic center of worship is the Mass and the body and the blood, you quickly can see in Scripture that if you applied that, you would see that the Lord is water, He is bread, He is blood, He is a door, He is... I mean, there were multiple metaphors that the Lord used. Every one of them was used, and when I read John 6, 61, 2, and 3, after reading John 4, when the Lord taught the woman at the well that it is the Father is seeking those who worship in spirit and truth. And then he says in John 6, 61, 2, and 3, that it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Those words were like explosions going off in me. And quite frankly, at that point, I knew very little about what I worshiped. And it was at that point, in this period of my life where the Lord was calling me, where I went and sought out what the Roman Catholic Church taught me that I never listened to. And it was in there when I held up the truth of Scripture to the writings of the canons of the Roman Catholic Church that the two were simply irreconcilable. You could not reconcile the two any longer. And it was just an unfolding from there of my life towards the Lord in Scripture and the circumstances of my life that I am just deeply thankful to my Lord for.
Yes, it is. It is wonderful, and it's heartwarming, and it's the same thing that woke up many of us. Mm. We saw that the Lord was always speaking in metaphors, and and He always giving things symbolically. And to take one of those metaphors and say this is literal is completely taking things out of context, and how it always is in
and I think what they ultimately tell us in John 6 is the most beautiful, just the most beautiful passage to find this. It really comes down to whatever it is that you're seeking for peace, contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment, yeah. Whatever it is, whether it's food for your belly or worship or this or that, Christ is that. He's all of that.
Yeah, and He is the bread of life.
And that's really what he was revealing to the woman at the well.
And He is center to everything. And it is like the jail keeper in the Acts of the Apostles, where he said, what must I do to do, how must I be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
I did a word search on the word believe in the New Testament Gospels, and it's just extraordinary. If you just allow yourself to go through every place where the Lord Himself said believe and read the context, He just wants us to believe in Him and Him alone.
Yeah, yes, and it's so intoxicatingly real, if I could put it that way. That it's so, I don't know. It's so applicable, and that's why I as I was mentioning earlier on, love the testimonies of the former nuns, because it's so down to earth, and it's so real, and it's so applicable to daily life, and that's what we want to know.
Well, and I think that's where we started this dialogue. As a young man, look back now, and I realize that both my religion and her men, and consequently my father and my family, never once opened the pages of Scriptures to show me this world that we live in and what was coming at me. And consequently, I walked right into that world of sin. And
I know, and that's really sad, and I know how you loved your father and mother, and it really is sad, but it is true. And we say the truth even though at times it's painful, you know what I mean? I know it must be painful for you to say it, Andy, and I know it is, but you say the truth. Christ Jesus said, and the truth shall set you free, you know what I mean? And it does set us free. And I know it's difficult for my family in Ireland.
I think the freedom is so misunderstood, though. I think the freedom is the boundaries of Scripture that God gives us to live the life that He's called us to do. And that's where the freedom exists, is He's given us it precisely how He wants us to live our lives.
Yeah, and that is so, to have a directive for your life, it's so real.
That's
and
where
it's so gloriously applicable that we can know which way to turn. Now, when you discovered this, when did you actually come to personal faith in Christ? Can you give some idea when that was?
I think it really was a journey with the Lord, not unlike you. You spent 13 and a half years. The Lord called me in the midst of this storm in my life, without a doubt. It was in that storm that He called me into just the solid rock of Scripture, which then revealed the true, just pure rock of Christ. But it was probably months of reading Scripture in the late hours of the night. I just very fondly remember reading deep into the night, just these, I couldn't let go of my Bible. At that point, I was more likely to leave my cell phone behind than my Bible. I mean, literally. And consequently, I was in Washington, D.C. on a business trip on June 4th, 4 years ago, and I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had the absolute acute awareness of the wrath of God on my life of sin. And it was Scripture that had revealed that and reinforced that and informed my conscience of that. And I went to my Bible and by God's grace began to read at Romans chapter 1. And by the time I came out of Romans chapter 2, I was so deeply convicted, not only by the sinful life, the pagan life that was revealed in Romans 1, but the religious hypocrisy in my life in Romans 2. And then thank God I hit Romans 3 and read those words that our dear brothers in Christ for so long has had their heart exploded with. But by the time I hit Romans chapter 5, the Lord had granted me repentance in the wee hours of that night. And I had the most wonderful repentance before my God, whom alone I had sinned against. And it was in that repentance that the Lord had granted me just that contentment of knowing from Scripture, every page I turned to, that I had been reconciled to Him, because the depth of every one of my sins had been covered by the pure blood of the Lord
Jesus
Christ.
That is just wonderful, Andy. And, you talked about my 13 and a half years searching too. In those 13 and a half years searching, I don't know why, but it wasn't Romans. I kept reading Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Sometimes 20 times a day I would read it. Why, I don't know, but it was like it was the grace of God. And I just read it and read it. And then it was at the very end of the 13 and a half years that one verse, that was Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you've been dead in trespasses and
right.
sin. I sought for all my living as a good priest and all my searching in the Bible, I was spiritually dead. And I literally got on the carpet of my house and I cried out to God. I said, I really am spiritually dead. Give me the faith and the grace to trust Christ alone and to have peace with you in Christ. And Andy, that was profound, because I was never the same again.
Yeah.
And He gave me the faith and grace, and I just praise Him that...
Well, I think it's important to look at that passage in Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3, because you're dead in your sins.
Yeah.
You, and Paul says, all of us, right? There's not one of us that are escaping this. We're dead in our sins. We are dominated by Satan and the course of this world we are walking. Mm-hmm. And we are destined for the wrath of God. Those are three points that come out of that passage that everyone, every single viewer has got to sit and question, do I know these truths? And am I reconciled to God? Because I am dead to sin, dominated by Satan, and destined for the wrath of God apart from his truth.
Yeah, it is the amazing grace of God. And in my own life, in 13 and a half years of search, nearly 14 years, and then at the end coming to see what really convicted me was Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, you being dead in trespass and sins. Mm-hmm. For all my search, for all my thinking I was such a holy, good priest, for all my thinking something good of myself, the Bible says to me, you're dead in sin. So I literally got on the carpet and I cried out to God, give me the faith and the grace. Mm-hmm. And I remember that evening so well, because I cried out to God in heaven, give me the grace and faith. And then I started to cry out and say, Father in heaven, I trust Christ and him alone. I look to him alone. And I thank you for the faith and grace you give. And things were never the same again. Mm-hmm. It was, I was free from actually alcohol. I used to depend on that to sleep at night. And I was, my life was just utterly changed. And it was all the scripture that the Lord used. And I came to really see what it is to trust on Christ and Christ alone. And it was such a joy to me, Andy. And that's what I'd say to you, viewer. God is faithful. God is faithful. Look to him and he will give you the grace and he will give you the faith to believe. And your life will never be the same again. And you will know what Christ said also. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not just that you are free from your sins. You're free from religion that binds you, and you're in the scripture. And if you go to a Bible believing church, it's a fellowship of believers. Nobody's believing in the church. You're just sharing how God gloriously saved us. And it's lovely, as I was saying, I'm trying to communicate that when I hear from you, the viewer, that the Lord has moved you, it really is a joy to my heart. And I really thank God for this. And can you have a final word that you wish to just open your heart to the viewer here tonight, Andy?
I think it would start with scripture, and it really reveals my heart and every person who loves the Lord and has the Roman Catholic deep in their heart. And it's Paul's heart towards his brothers and sisters. And he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And I just, in there is so much truth to be unpacked. But the righteousness that reconciles us to God, our Creator, is the righteousness of Christ. We will never earn it. We will never attain it. We will never achieve it on our own. We will never come close to it. And the very effort to do that, God says, are filthy rags to me, because they reject this beautiful gift of God, of Christ on the cross, once for all those who believe. And I just believe with all my heart and soul that God is faithful. If we desire the truth and we seek the truth, we will find Christ, because He is the only truth we will ever need to know. And He is the reason for every page of Scripture, is to reveal Him in all His glory, as the book of Hebrews reveals.
Well, Andy, we're coming to the end of this interview, that I really enjoyed listening to you, and I know that it is meaningful to each one there as you listen. And I want to ask you, what is your walk with the Lord now that you have come to know Him? How is your, like, your daily walk with the Lord, and how are things in your daily life with the Lord now, day by day?
Well, first and foremost, I just continue to grow in my love for the Lord, and that is without a doubt the constant taking in of Scripture. I would truly and thankfully share that my life is really one that is just overtaken by the truth of Scripture, and just the desire to reach into these deep truths that reveal my Lord to me in ways that flow off the pages of Scripture, and they apply to every single bit of my life, and they are the counsel that I go to in every circumstance of my life. I find the answer in Scripture. My ministry really is in the prison, and in the counseling, the biblical counseling of men trapped in addiction, the sin of addiction, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be the sins of immorality, all those things that young men are just bombarded with today. I have the opportunity to counsel those men, both through the ministries at the church, as well as through the ministry in the prison that I have to serve the Lord in for the last 4 years. Internationally, our church is very focused on taking the gospel and taking the life that the gospel produces to these places, and have enjoyed the mission trips to Croatia for the last 3 years. My heart is very much, it's just very near and dear to my heart, the beautiful little remnant that you find in these places where man's religion has created such a darkness. You find this beautiful, bright light of the Lord's remnant, just loving Him and following Him faithfully.
It's so similar to my own Ireland. You know, we were very much like the Croats, and in Croatia, we were not only Catholic, but we were willing to fight for it. And the Croats had the Ustashi, and we had the IRA, and it was a fighting matter. But when you see Catholics come to the Lord and their hearts opened by the Lord, and to see their love for the Lord afterwards, it's so wonderful. And I thank God for that, and I thank God for the outreach to Croatia and other outreaches that reach out. And it's always a joy and a privilege for me, as I said to you, the viewer, when I hear from you, it's always a joy to my heart, and it's always something that I really relish, because this is a personal work. We're talking to you personally, and it's lovely to hear from you so that we can email you back. And that's the great thing about modern communication. So that is the my final word. But what is your final word, Andy, to the one listening there?
I think it's true both for every soul. Just seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your body. And He is faithful. I am overwhelmed every day by the ways in which the Lord reveals His constant protection of me, His constant ordering of my steps, and the constant joy He brings me, even in the deepest of my trials today, to know that I am right with God. And it is through this glorious Lord Jesus Christ is all I need in life.
It is. And Christ Jesus Himself said it so wonderfully, that this is everlasting life, mm-hmm. that they may know Thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. whom He has sent. That is everlasting life. It's not just heaven. You can know God intimately and fully personally in this life, and that's what we're sharing with you this day, and that is to be what you look for, and you will not be disappointed. And this is where we just give God the glory, the praise, and the worship, and the honor. May he be glorified, and may souls be saved to the praise and glory of his grace. Amen. Amen.